quick Destroyer music break for you there, the music lovers. You're tuned into 101.5 UMFM, and Still Talking is going to happen. Despite the bus, we've got Kieran Light on the phone.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Kieran Light. This is Still Talking. I'm the guy who doesn't shut up about sports, and yes, like Michael mentioned, the bus is really trying to stop me from getting on the airwaves. Now, you might be saying, Kieran, why are you 5 minutes late, or 6 minutes now, and why does it sound like you're talking to us through a cell phone? Well, the truth of the matter is, I am talking to you through a cell phone, and I'm late because of the wondrous and efficient service of Winnipeg Public Transit. Look, guys, I had a bus I had to get on at 9:55, would have gotten me to uni at 11:10, but the bus was, you know, 15 minutes late. It didn't show. It was delayed. That was great. Great. Delayed, mind you, it was delayed right before it got to my stop, because I was checking the app, the bus route, to make sure it was still 9:55. And I stood up there in the cold, and it was late, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go, just go back home. I'm going to try to pre-record the episode for my listeners, whom I care so deeply about, and try getting it on time. Well, I tried to pre-record it, tried to edit it all in about an hour. Mind you, it's a half-hour show, and it didn't really work out. So here I am, 6 minutes late. My good studio manager, Michael and Jared, setting it up so that I can talk to you guys through a cell phone at my house. So let's just get right into it. First things first, legendary head coach Bill Belichick, widely regarded as the best coach in NFL history. Well, I remember last season he and the Patriots, they part ways after six Super Bowls in 20 years, and he's finished his second all-time in the win list by a head coach. And he starts interviewing for other jobs in the NFL, Atlanta, I think Chicago, Jacksonville. Atlanta really wanted him. He wanted to go to Atlanta. Ultimately, they went with Raheem Morris and all these other teams. They went with someone else. So NFL fans are kind of shocked that, oh, my God, Bill Belichick is not going to be coaching in the NFL. That's crazy. And we all assumed he wanted to make a comeback. It was reported, and so we know pretty much for a fact that he really wants that win record. And frankly, I think he deserves it. I think so. He is obviously the best coach in NFL history, and I'd love to see him get that record. And so NFL fans were left wondering, in anticipation and excitement, about where is he going to go next? And he goes to UNC, kind of out of nowhere, if you think about it. The other day, UNC announces 5 years, $50 million for Bill Belichick, pulling the reverse Drake May from Patriots to UNC. They're the other way around. And yet, sorry. I think with this deal, it's very, very interesting. I got sidetracked for a second there. But what I find very interesting about this whole process of him now coaching at UNC was, like, this kind of, again, happened suddenly. I mean, it was like a week ago that it was reported that he was interested and that UNC was maybe going to make an offer. There was the whole thing about him wanting his son to be officially, like, kind of hired as the next head coach after he's done. And then, yeah, this kind of happens. You know what? I actually didn't know this, but Bill Belichick has a lot of family ties to UNC. His dad coached there in the 50s. You know, at his press conference, he said, it's a dream come true. He said that his first words as a baby was, beat Duke. Right? So I think going forward with UNC, they're a very interesting team. Very interesting. I'm going to be following them a lot. I think, look, the part that I find most intriguing about this UNC team under Bill Belichick is how much recruiting they're going to be able to do. I think that, like, they're going to be very popular both in the media and in recruiting. Not quite like Coach Prime in Colorado with, you know, Travis Hunter and Shadur kind of like popularity. But I still think that they're, like, he's going to get so many recruits. Because think about it. All these high school guys, these, you know, prospects and all these guys who are at other colleges, right? What's everyone's dream? Go to the NFL. Go become a pro. Go live your dream. Make that money. Get that fame, whatever. And other than maybe Deion Sanders, who is the best coach now in college football to do that? It's Bill Belichick. We saw it, the effect, like, almost immediately. I think, like, hours after it was announced he was the new head coach, there was some player on UNC who was in the transfer portal, and he puts out a tweet saying, oh, I'm no longer in the transfer portal. I'm going to stay at UNC and be a Tar Heel. that's the effect he's having. Like, if you're, think about it, if you're like a five-star or four-star college prospect, right, coming out of high school, let's say you're getting offers from like Bama and LSU and, I don't know, USC, Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan. If you're one of these guys, right? Now, obviously, other schools, it's not just going to be those schools that put an offer. UNC is probably going to be one of those teams. And then you're going to look at that, you're going to go, okay, Ryan Day in Ohio, Alabama without Saban, LSU's been struggling, USC is sketchy. Oregon looks good, but I don't know if I'm going to get an opportunity. Michigan, no Harbaugh. Oh, what's this? UNC. Oh, Bill Belichick. Yeah, if I was a high school prospect with offers trying to go to the NFL, I'm going to UNC. I'm going to play under that man and his program because there's no one more experienced. Think about why Alabama was so good at recruiting when Saban was around. Because Saban was an NFL guy. He's friends with Bill Belichick. Saban had proven in the college ranks and he could produce not just NFL talent, high-end NFL talent, at like an insane rate. It was like every draft class, there was at least four or five Alabama guys going first round. Every year in the Pro Bowl or in the Super Bowl, right? In the Pro Bowl, there's probably like at least five guys from Alabama. In the Super Bowl, probably at least three. There are guys from Bama on like every NFL team. And that's why they were so good for so long, was because Saban was there. And Saban had proven to everybody, I'm the guy if you want to be in the NFL. And so all these top prospects go to Bama, they go to Bama, they go to Bama. And everyone else is just competing for second. Look, I think that UNC is going to get so many high-end prospects. Bill Belichick, also known to be the guy who looks for the hidden gems. So you're also going to get some weird ones. Like, I already saw the memes about, like, backup lacrosse players at UNC finding out they're going to be a starting wide receiver. Those are funny. It's probably a little bit true. Look, we know Bill Belichick. He's very good at recruiting young people. If you know, you know. I just think, like, this team in 2-3-ish years could be really good. I think for this next upcoming season, they're going to be good. I mean, like, they're obviously going to be one of the most well-coached, well-prepared teams in college. Probably the most, if I'm being honest. They're going to be the most pro-like. I think the ACC is super easy, super, super duper easy. You know, they'll win 9 to 10 games, probably be in the playoff, probably play in a big bowl game, right? That's how the season will go. And they're going to get a lot of coverage. Again, not a lot of social media coverage, not like Colorado. You know, Bill Belichick's not really a social media guy. He's probably not going to let all the cameras in. But, like, they're going to get talked about all the time. They're going to get scrutinized all the time. And I think they're going to be really, 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 really well prepared. There's one interesting thing about the Bill Belichick contract that I want to talk about. You know, you've seen other outlets and fans and social media accounts talk about this, and I want to discuss it too, because I think it's very, very cool. Very intriguing, interesting thing. There's a clause in this contract. Now, right now, if Bill Belichick were to say, you know what, I don't want to be the coach of UNC anymore. If you were to say, yeah, no, I'm going to go coach somewhere else, then his buyout would be $10 million. You'd have to forfeit $10 million to do so. And then, okay, well, Kieran, what's interesting about that? Well, after June 1st, 2025, this upcoming June, that buyout drops from $10 million to $1 million. Bill Belichick's a rich guy, people. $1 million, he could pay that. Hell, even $10 million, he could probably pay and be fine. But now, after June 1st, he has the opportunity to go back to the NFL or to some other college team if he felt like it. And you think I'm crazy for bringing this up? He's the guy who got hired by New York, and then a day later, via hotel napkin, announced he was no longer going to be their head coach, signed with a division rival, stayed there for 20 years and won 6 Super Bowls. That's the kind of guy I'm dealing with. Do I think it's going to happen? No. No, I don't think it will. I think he'll be there for at least a year, maybe two. He's going to want to, like, build up a rapport, right? I think he just doesn't want to be 2 years removed from coaching. That's the thing. I think he's going to be there for at least 1 or 2 years, you know, show that he's still got it, prove these NFL teams he's not a washed coach. Opportunities in the NFL always comes, usually about 6 to 7-ish on average. He's going to get one of those. they're going to realize they shouldn't have passed up on him in the first place. But I'm just saying, very, very possible. If Jacksonville fires Doug Peterson and says, Bill, we really, really, really want you to be our coach, will you do it? Who's to say they don't give him just a $10 million signing bonus? Say, hey, here's an extra $10 million in your signing bonus. Pay off that buyout. Come with us. He could do it. Again, this is the guy we're dealing with. He screwed the Jets over. He could do it again. Again, I don't think it'll happen, but that's just the really, really interesting part. And again, nobody hires a coach after June 1st, but could you imagine that? Bill Belichick did that. That would be just insane. I want to get right into the next thing I want to talk about. Last night we had Thursday Night Football, prime time. Rams at Niners, interdivisional game, bad weather. Should be a great game, right? No, it was 12-6. Rams won, but it was 12-6. It was an interesting game, to put it lightly. Wasn't really that fun. I think, though, as like an analytical fan of the NFL, someone who likes to really just look at the X's and O's and analyze the game, I still think it was very, very entertaining because this game really displayed the difference in quarterback and how much that can affect the team. Because statistically, neither quarterback, Brock Purdy and Matthew Stafford, neither of them really played that well. Stafford, 16 for 27, 160 yards. No touchdowns, no picks, 65 QBR, 76 rating. Yeah, average, whatever. Not great. Really just not good, honestly. It's just not a good statistical game. Brock Purdy, though. Oh, my God. He was terrible. And I don't care about the weather. I don't care that it was windy and raining. I don't care. No amount of weather can make up or excuse that bad of a performance from Brock Purdy. And I'll read it out here. He was 14 for 31. That's 45% completion. Awful. 14 for 31, 143 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. He had a 20 QBR, a 45 passer rating. Terrible. Absolutely god-awful, atrocious, bad. Oh, my God, I want to throw up. And, look, everyone, it's so weird, right? Because Brock Purdy comes in out of nowhere, rookie, Mr. Irrelevant, like goes like 6-0, gets to the NFC Championship or whatever, and they start winning, right? Here's the interesting thing. From 2022 to 2023, he had four losses. Four in 2 years. Well, really like one and a half, but 2 years. In 2024 alone, he's got seven. Nearly double the amount of losses in half the season. Mind you, it's only 13 games, right? Like, in those 2 years, one and a half years, whatever, he was 17-4. That's 21 games. He's 6-7 this year. That's 13. Nearly double. In pretty much half. Here's an interesting stat from last night. On throws 20 yards more down the field, he was 0 for 7 in an interception. That interception, by the way, terrible. Absolutely god-awful. Totally overthrew his guy, threw it into double coverage. The throw was so bad that the DB, the corner, the Rams corner, looked like a wide receiver because he didn't have to fight with his guy to get the ball, right? Most interceptions, they come from, you know, one guy coming out of nowhere and just snagging it that you should have seen, or maybe it's a toss-up, it's a 50-50 ball, something like that. They're fighting for it. No. His receiver, I think it was Jennings he was trying to throw to. Jennings was covered by one guy, and then the other guy was on top bracketing him, and he overthrew him so bad, that the guy who got the pick, again, I don't remember who it was, he just had to go get under. He looked like a wide receiver. His best throw, honestly, his best throw from last night was to the defense. We're talking about a guy with 15 touchdowns and 9 interceptions all year this year. Last year, he was an MVP conversation. Niners fans were screaming from the mountaintops, oh, he should be MVP. Look at his stats. He should be MVP. He's bad. I'm sorry, Niners fans. Look, I wanted him to be good, too. And I always felt like it was true that, yeah, he was a product of the team around him. But I didn't want to fully believe it. No, last night, there's no denying it. He is a product of the team around him. If he doesn't have the Avengers around him, he's not even a guy. He's just meh. He's a B-minus quarterback. And they want to pay him A-plus money. After the game last night, I go and I do my notes. I'm trying to look at his contract. Because, again, that's been talked about. I just look at Brock Purdy contract on Google, and I get headlines. This is a headline that was posted 3 hours before game time. This is from Heavy Sports. 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy predicted to sign record-breaking contract. Another one, or another article, says that Bill Barnwell, this is also from like hours before the game, Bill Barnwell, an ESPN analyst, predicts 5 years, $235 million, which comes out to about $60 to $65 million a year. To the guy who is 6-7 without his super team, 15 touchdowns, 9 picks, clearly can't throw it super far downfield at all, really. Does he sound like a guy that deserves $60 million? No. No, there isn't a world where he deserves that kind of money. His performance last night was so bad that he lost all negotiating leverage, because he could have made the point, he could have made the argument to the Niners, hey, look how much we've been winning since I got here. He's like, yeah, you were good with Jimmy, but like, I'm clearly better. And Trey Lance didn't work out. Give me my money. He could have done that. But now it was proven that without Christian McCaffrey and without Trent Williams and without a stacked defense, without Brandon Ayuk, and pretty much without Deebo Samuel, because he's been struggling. I mean, he's been so bad that community notes is dunking on him on Twitter. Without all that, Brock Purdy's nothing. He's nothing. And here's the thing I don't understand about these sports contracts, and I've talked about this before, is that he needs to, there's athletes need to be more real. Like, yeah, a lot of good athletes deserve a lot of money. That's fine. But, like, you don't need the most record-breaking contract ever. One, that's not what you deserve. And also, it screws over your team, especially in the NFL. It screws over your chances of winning a Super Bowl. Brock, it was proven last night that you're not going to win anything. Anything. Without a super team around you. So if you're going to take $60 million a year, how do you expect him to pay for that kind of a squad and win again? You're not going to. If he doesn't take a modest contract, then they're drafting a quarterback in April, I would predict, within the first three rounds. I don't know who. Hell, maybe they do another Trey Lance. They trade up for Cam Ward or something. They could do that. It's not like Brock's expensive. They could just cut him. You've lost all leverage. I think with the Niners, they honestly need to, I think they need to, like, do some soul searching here. I don't think that they necessarily should, but I feel like there needs to be an honest discussion, honest, objective discussion about, do we blow it up? Do we at least trade off some of our top-end pieces to try and rebuild? Because, again, they poured everything into getting Trey Lance, and look how that worked out. I still want Trey Lance to get an opportunity, by the way. I just want to see him, because, again, we never really got to see him. But I digress. We need to have this discussion, because they have old, injury-prone stars. They have a QB that clearly isn't a franchise guy. And even at their best, their most healthiest, most efficient, clicking on, firing on cylinders, everything, they can't win big games. They've lost two Super Bowls to the same team, and they've lost two NFC championships. One to a division rival, the same rival that just beat them last night. You guys are asking yourself, is it worth keeping all these guys around? You don't have a future, you don't have any picks. We gotta get rid of some of these guys. Trent Williams is great, but he's older and he's also injury prone. McCaffrey's great, but he's a running back. They have a short shelf life, and he's definitely injury prone. Look at how they handled that. Ayuk wants big money. Pretty sure he got it. Yeah, he got him. He got big money. Struggles and then tears ACL. Deebo gets paid. Struggles. Overrated. He's a diva. You don't want to deal with that. The guy's on defense. Got Devondre Campbell quitting mid-game last night. Oh, because he's not getting the starting minutes. Shut up, dude. You're paid millions of dollars to play a children's game. Play. The team is so hurt that, like, even Kittle, who's having a good season, Kittle can't do it anymore. Because with everybody else struggling or hurt, well, now defenses only have to zone in on him. They just got to double him, and he's boom, he's out of the game. Can't do anything. It's not his fault. But Kittle's also getting older, right? They ain't have the discussion. I feel like there's a world where you see the Niners try to build for the future now. Because, again, this team, this coaching staff, even at their best, and I don't think Shanahan should get fired at all, but even this team and this coaching staff and this organization at their best, he's missing something. And they've been talking about it as like the most stacked team in the NFL for years. Either you somehow figure out what the issue is and figure it out this offseason without making any major changes and retain everybody and everybody's healthy next year and then boom, you do it. Or you get rid of some guys or maybe everything. I only got a few more minutes here, and I just want to talk about an interesting report coming out of the NBA. It's about ticket prices. Last year at the NBA Cup in Vegas, the quarterfinals and the final, the average ticket price was $237. This year, $98 and dropping. Now, a lot of people, I was having this discussion with my brother last night. He was making the point, like, oh, this doesn't really matter. Why are people going crazy? What do you mean? Tickets are becoming affordable. That's good. And, like, yeah, everybody wants affordable tickets. But the reason that I think this is so concerning and telling is because it speaks volumes to fan interest and, frankly, the NBA's blindness to what's plaguing their league, because they're bleeding fans and interest. These are problems that the NBA refuses to address. Look, the NBA Cup was something I was very critical of when they first announced it. I didn't really like the idea. I thought it would be annoying and just pointless. And part of that's still true. But frankly, I've enjoyed the NBA Cup these past 2 years. I think it's delivered on its promise on making regular season games interesting. Yeah, that's cool. I think they did a good job setting it up. It's baked into the regular season. I still don't really fully understand it. It's a bit confusing to keep up with it. But I think it's fun. It's interesting. But a lot of fans don't really feel that way. A lot of fans are still confused. A lot of fans don't really understand it. And then the NBA has their semifinals and their final in Las Vegas. The teams that are playing, Oklahoma City, Houston, Atlanta, and Milwaukee, those are hundreds of miles away from Las Vegas. You don't seriously expect fans to want to go there. They shouldn't have it in Vegas. But here, I don't have a ton of time. I'll go into it next week, I promise, because it is something I really want to talk about. But these are the like key problems plaguing the NBA, and Adam Silver refuses to address it. The first one, this is one everybody knows, inaccessibility. Fans have to pay hundreds of dollars for streaming services that the NBA is selling out to be able to watch all their games. I remember just a few years ago, I could turn on the TV and have access to pretty much every game, right? Now, I'm not saying I deserve it for free. Yeah, the NBA needs to make money. But Jesus, you don't need to go and sell your soul to every streaming service. And like, what's the point of NBA TV or League Pass when Amazon is the one who has the rights to these games? Well, I want to watch that game. I'm paying for League Pass. The NBA can't seriously let me watch an NBA game because Amazon has that coverage? Really? And look at what they're doing with all these gambling sites. They're selling out to them. The other thing is NBA media is bad. It's shallow. It's lame. It's passionless. It's terrible, terrible, like, coverage. Awful. It's lame. It's often done in bad faith. That's bad. And it's not giving the right context, interesting context to fans. It's not giving the right context for these games and these players and these seasons of these teams. And fans aren't interested. The other thing, this is my big key point I want to talk about next week, is the NBA's talent economy. I don't have the time to really go in-depth, but here's my thesis. The NBA is too densely packed with talent. There are too many good players on all teams, and they need to expand. They haven't done so in 20 years. Now, it's 11:59. I'm sorry for being late, guys. I'm sorry the bus missed me. Look, the mics are coming off. I don't really have any songs to play because I'm not in the studio, but hey, the mics are coming off, but you know me, I'm still talking. Have a good weekend, everybody.